It says it's recording. I'm counting that. All right. Brother Dewan Hanna, otherwise known as DJ Needle.
Needle 914.
Sorry, what was that?
It's DJ Needle 914.
DJ Needle 914.
DJ Needle's cool.
Also known as Junior Warden of Windsor Lodge. I got to go. Shoot, I should have grabbed the... I think I still got a couple bottles of the your homemade beer with the Masonic label.
Oh, yeah, I got another batch. When we go back, I'm going to have another special batch of homemade beer. Not sure what kind I'm going to make yet for, but I'm going to have another batch or two ready. I actually have a coffee batch fermenting now, and then I got a Mexican cerveza that's fermenting. They're both a secondary phase of fermenting. I got a wine, too.
Only I drank, because I love coffee. So if there's ever something that would get me drinking beer, it would be
Coffee beer? Yeah. I got the coffee beer. It's the first go-around, I couldn't keep. I mean, literally, it went like within 2 days. And I didn't even get a chance to taste it. Everybody's like, oh, let me try it. And it was gone. Quick. I actually brewed it from a coffee in the States from a guy I know. I used to work with for him in his magazine called The Promoter Magazine. He has his own coffee out called Ooey Coffee. So I used that coffee. And from what I'm hearing, it was good. Now the other one's been fermenting, secondary fermenting for a while, so it's going to be kind of good.
Well, to any Windsor Lodge people listening in, another reason to come back in September is Dewan Hanna will have some coffee and sriracha-flavored beer.
And I have a couple of bottles of wine I made, too.
Well, if that's not a reason to come back to Lodge in September.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And your mother lodge is Livonia Lodge United, Livonia United.
Yep, and Livonia United 152, Grand Lodge, Michigan. Yes, indeed.
We talked a bit about it before this started, but how is you know, the border closing, or not closing, but only, you know, restricted travel affecting you? Because you've got family and friends and brothers in Michigan, in the States. Mm-hmm. You live in Windsor now, right? You
do travel back and forth.
So how's it been affecting you? Are you able to keep in touch with the Livonia guys and family, and how's that all going?
Actually, they have a Zoom call every Wednesday. Social, not, you know, actual official meeting or anything like that. So I really only attended three because I usually work between those times because I work 10-hour shifts Monday to Thursday, so I can't really join and, you know, be in the meeting. But I actually haven't physically been in a lodge meeting there since last year because of my job. I work 10 hours a day. So it was great to see him on a Zoom call. You know, it was great. You know, talk. It's like, hey, how's Canada going? You know, some of them play around like, oh, you sold out America to go live in Canada. I'm like, well, hey, you know, it is what it is. Get married and move where your wife is.
Those Canadian girls, you know.
Yeah. Hey, my wife takes care of me great. You know, see this Masonic hat? She bought me that. She bought me all my Masonic stuff. Even I have to show this off here. I have this, you can read it here, this big quilt she got me. Can you see it?
Some call it a secret society. I call it family, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and then you read at the bottom here. I don't know if you can.
Very cool. We got it. But I call them family.
Nice. Yeah. So she got me that. I got sweaters. I actually got a gold watch. I don't think I have it. Gold watch down here? Hold on. Nope, I don't have the gold watch you got me. But
I mean, I don't I understand it. My my dad is from England, and he met a Canadian girl, and then he moved to Windsor. So Canadian girls, that's what they do. Get people to move away from home.
Yeah. Away in Canada. That's what happens as soon as you meet a Canadian girl. Hey, I'm in Canada. That's what happens, but, you know, special, you know, thanks my wife. She's always buying all Masonic stuff for me. So,
well, thank you very much to well done to your wife supporting the Masons. Much appreciated. All the Masonic wives out there who support Masonry and support what we do.
And especially the Shriner events that, you know, because I'm a Shriner too, and she's like all the, you know, the social events we go to, she's always there, especially our meat raffle that we have in Michigan. It's, you know, our meat raffle is wonderful. Yes, you guaranteed to win something. You come there with an empty cooler and you leave with it full. And as long as I get some bacon, I don't care about anything else. It's bacon. I'm loving it.
That I concur completely. I support. I mean, any meat is good, but bacon.
Bacon. That's like it. I really don't mess with pork too much, but I'm sorry. To me, bacon ain't pork. It's just bacon. It's its own category. Bacon.
It's just wonderful, is whatever it is.
Yes.
We're speaking of the, you know, Masonic wives and families and stuff. We're recording this. Father's Day is coming up on the 18th, so about a week and a bit. And I interviewed my dad for that podcast to talk about Masonic fathers. But I realized I should probably next year definitely do a Masonic Mother's Day podcast. Talk to all the wives and moms of Masons out there who support us.
That'd be great. That'd be great. I know my wife would probably be down for something like that. She would, you know, give her intake on how it is to be a Masonic wife. You know, I've been trying to get her like the, you know, join Eastern Stars, but, you know, it's nothing in Windsor, and they asked her in Detroit, and it was like, well, I don't know how that'll work out, but I'm not sure where is the closest Eastern Star is in Windsor.
Essex.
Oh, okay. Well, I ain't that far. She got a car now, so.
I always, in my opinion, not that I'm married or anything, the most dangerous speech you can give like at a Masonic function or like toast is the toast to the ladies. Because if you mess that up, not only are you in trouble, but you've got every Mason in that room in trouble when they go home too.
Ooh.
If you give a bad toast to the ladies, you got everybody mad at you all at once.
Ooh, yeah, yes, indeed. Be careful, guys. Be careful. Oh, that's the camera right there. Be careful.
Yes, don't mess that up, because we all got it. We all suffer. Everybody who's married or brings a date suffers if that one goes wrong.
Yep, indeed. I know, you know, every event she's ever been with, you know, playing the Masonry or even Shriner, especially, she's even helped me volunteer when in Livonia Lodge, we do the every year, the Livonia Spree. So it's like a big carnival, huge. And we do the child ID program. She's right there helping.
It's great to have support, you know, support a family. And that's kind of what you need, right? That's what you need to make everything work, is support a family, just in life in general.
Yes, indeed.
So what's going on? Tell me about, you know, you and I actually didn't meet through Masonry. You and I met through, your music and my comedy back in the day. You put on a show at Fogland?
Villains. It was Villains. Right. Actually, we met before then. We actually met at Villains when you and Squeaky Wells was doing a show. And I'm like, okay, these guys, what are they about to do, a show? And you said, write something random on a piece of paper. I remember that. I'm not sure how the skit ended. And what got me was like, these guys are about to do musical chairs? Like, what the? Hold on, huh? And I was like, I didn't know how to react. And y'all did it. And it was like, y'all made it funny. And it was like, wow, these guys have a disability, but they made it funny and interesting, and they made it good. And you guys, when you guys do y'all skits, comedy together, it just works. And just like, well, these guys need to be professionals literally out there, because these guys are wonderful at what they're doing together. But I remember the show that I put you on was a fundraiser, I believe, for Street Help. It was a variety show I put on at Villains. It's probably like a few months later after that I put it on. And then at the time I didn't know you was a Mason at all, because this is when I was an intern apprentice at in Livonia. And I was just, you know, once you become a Mason, you just start researching everything. Like, where's the lodges? Well, I'll be in Windsor a lot. And I started researching Windsor lodges, and then I just noticed, I saw something familiar. I'm like, hold on a second. That's the guy that was at Villains. So that's when I found out he was a Mason, and then we met up and talked about it. And I think by the time we met up at Villains, you know, for a drink or something, because I know you weren't drinking beer, you was drinking pop, and I was drinking beer. And you would tell me, you would say, hey, you know what? You come to visit my lodge, this, that, and other. And I was still a fellow craft. But in Michigan, they was like, nah, you can't go until you're a master Mason. I was like, but he said, I go. He's like, nah, who's going to vouch for you that you're a Mason? You're going to have a dues card. And I don't know if any of us is going over there anytime soon. So I couldn't visit the Canadian lodge until I became a master Mason.
That's one of the, I think, one of the major differences between American lodges and Canadian lodges is the different levels of responsibility in terms of your degrees. You know, in Canadian lodges, at least the ones in Ontario, you know, you're involved in all aspects of the lodge. You can be right from when you get your entered apprentice degree. Whereas in the States, like I said, until you're a master mason, you're not really visiting or attending business meetings or things like that. I always tell the story. I joined in October of 2017, and my very next business meeting, it was our elections for the following year. So I had been a mason. I had attended precisely one meeting, my initiation, and the next meeting, I'm voting for the officers for the next year. I had no idea what I was doing. I sat next to Tom Offit. Tell me what to do. What do you think about that difference, and do you have a preference? Because I've heard people argue that it's better to throw entered apprentices in the deep end right away and give them responsibility, and I've heard people say it's better to, you know, make them get all three degrees before they can attend a business meeting. Do you have any opinions, or having gone through both yourself, or kind of being, you know, members of both the Canadian and American lodge?
Well, I know in the States, my lodge, I know we as an apprentice were allowed to attend the business meeting, but they will only open that degree. So if there was an apprentice, they will open an EA, and then if there was fellow crafts, then they will open a fellow craft degree for business. But I think they would even vote too, but certain things that they would, you know, kick us out. I know proficiency, they would like kick us out, so they'll vote and they'll go up to the master mason degree and bring it back down to the fellow craft or an apprentice. Because that's what, you know, when I did my proficiency, which proficiency is done totally different. Totally different. You know, that's another subject to talk later. But I think it was kind of weird, because I remember seeing Elijah, and he was like voting. I'm like, I looked at him like, you're only in an apprenticeship. You're voting? He's like, yeah. I'm like, really? Because I know you only can vote as a master mason in the States. But I was, you know, it was just like, threw me off. There was a lot of differences too. And, you know, even sitting in the junior warden chair, you know, I had to catch myself on saying a couple of American things versus, you know, Canadian things. Witness that too, voting. So, yeah, it's a difference. And I think it's cool that, you know, an apprentice can, you know, vote in the Canadian lodge. That's cool. Not mad at it.
What are some of the things that struck you about, you know, your first time visiting the Windsor Masonic Temple, or, you know, visiting lodges in Canada as compared to the States, or just in general? What are some things that struck you about visiting?
Well, there's things are different. Our signs are different. And I remember, I don't forget who was the worship master at the time. It was, I know you were sitting as a senior warden. And they were like, you know, hey, do your own signs. And I'm looking at everybody like, what are they doing? And I'm like, whoa. And then the grand honors were like, whoa. Because certain things, like in the States, like our installation is open to the public. And here, it's not open to the public. That's straight up closed off. no, certain events are open to public. I did attend one installation. And well, the installation at my lodge, they actually open the lodge regularly, and then they put the lodge to rest, then they open it, and then they close it with everybody in there, but they don't do any signs or anything. Just close it regularly. I know when I visit another lodge, they were doing an installation, they didn't do an opening. They just say, hey, do the installation. They just did the installation. That was it. So, I mean, I guess each lodge in the state does things different, but though it's totally different in Canada.
So why did you decide to join Masonry? What got you interested in it? Was it advertised in Michigan when you joined?
I'll give you the whole entire story. I'll just put it out there. So back in 1990, it was further than that, but I really am not going to count that. It was in 97 or 98, I wanted to be a Mason. My uncle, who was Prince Hall, he was a past master, and, you know, my grandfather, his father, was a Mason. I really didn't too much know about that, but I knew about it, but I really wasn't really thinking about that back then. So my uncle, I was like, hey, I want to be a Mason, because my grandmother told me to ask him. And so I asked him, like, hey, I want to be a Mason. So he took me to this car wash in Detroit, because he lived out of state. And he told me, he took me to this car wash. The guy who owned the car wash was, I guess he was the grandmaster at the time. I'm not sure. He was one of the real respected Masons, Prince Hall Masons of Detroit. And he wasn't there at the time, but he told me to follow up with him, you know, keep going, because he wants to be a Mason, this, that, and other. So as years went on, I forgot about it. I didn't forget about it. Just wasn't, you know, I was worried about DJing, working, girls, partying, and all that. So an event that used to go on in Windsor, the Emancipation Celebration, the guy who ran it, I asked him, like, so you're a Mason? I want to be a Mason. So I actually was going to put a petition in to be Prince Hall in Windsor. So I'm not sure what happened with Windsor. I guess the building, something happened to the building. They moved out in Harrow and everything. So that didn't go through. So he told me to talk to my cousin, who was Prince Hall. I think Lodge Tyree 33 or 32. I don't want to mess up their lodge, but in Prince Hall. So my best friend, Tyrone, that I went to high school, I mean, junior high school, man, you met him. He was like, hey, man, listen, why don't you come over to meet us at Livonia? But at the time, before it was Livonia United 152, we were actually Thomas S. Hughes 574, because we consolidated twice. So he was like, yo, come meet with us. I'm like, I met with him. And I was like, you know, these guys are kind of cool. Okay. So I was like, yeah, let me get a petition. So I put my petition in, they voted, and I joined Livonia. It was Thomas S. Hughes. And then we consolidated to Livonia 586, and then we consolidated with Refford and became Livonia United 152. But pretty much that's my story of Masonry, how I got in.
And what was it that attracted you to Masonry? Why were you first interested in joining? I know you said you had the family connections and you had...
Yeah.
Was that the primary reason, or is it...
No, it was never the primary. I mean, not really. It wasn't the primary reason, because my family was connected to Masonry. It was something that, you know, helped me improve to be a better person. That's what I was, my long-term goal was that, and it did. Like, I met a lot of great people, helped me get my mind right on things, and, you know, and actually helped me start studying better, because you got to learn a lot. And the actual first work I ever done was in Canada. That you, hey, you, I remember when you told me, hey, you want to do this? I'm like, really? I can do this? Okay. And I'm memorizing. And that wasn't the first work I ever memorized, because I sat, I covered a chair in the States, a senior deacon in the chair. So I covered that, and I had to learn that within like a week. But the actual real work was done in Canada first.
Well, I'm very happy I got the chance to. It was a third degree, wasn't it? It was a degree, I think.
No, it was the first degree.
It seems like it's been forever since I was sitting in the East. Do you have any, being a junior warden. I always say that seems to be the chair for a lot of guys when they get to junior warden. That's when they start looking to the east more often. They realize, you know, there's only one chair between them and the east. Do you have any advice for guys if they're looking at moving into the junior warden's chair? How to go about it, just being a new junior warden yourself?
First of all, before getting into that chair, if you get voted in that chair, you have a few months to learn how to cook. And if you're married, have your wife help you cook. But other than that, the only thing advice I can give besides the cooking, just study your work. Just learn and study your work. My cousin, who was a past master, said the way you will learn it is if you know what you're learning and understand it, and it'll come better and it'll come quicker and stick in your head. And that's the only advice I can give, because he was like, when he became, when he was like, you know, going through different chairs, he would literally just memorize it, and he would go in the bathroom when he's in the morning brushing his teeth, he'll just start just saying it to himself. And, you know, every day he would read. He actually said first year he became a master mason, he actually, you know, cut himself off from everybody for a whole year and just got deep into masonry. That's why he knows it like a book. And he actually gave me a sheet, you know, not a cheat sheet, but a sheet with everything on it. And it was like, oh, okay, wow, this is really helping.
That is so.
Say one thing about Printar. You gotta know your stuff. You bet. You gotta know your stuff. And I don't wanna get too much into Printar, because hopefully you have a show coming with them. I don't know yet.
Sent them an email.
I can say this. I've been to, like I told you, I've been in that third degree, and phenomenal work. And phenomenal. Just phenomenal. That's the only thing I can say. It's just, you see their third degree and it's like, whoa. And Prince Hall really takes their work serious.
Talking about memorizing the work and the importance of memorizing the work, and people, like you said, you know, I did the same thing. I carried a book with me and I'm in the washroom, you know. Best time to study your work seems to be on the toilet. I don't know why, but I need to memorize all my shit better when I'm taking a shit than any other time. No. But I remember even growing up, I told this story a few times now. My dad worked, he worked day shift, so he'd usually wake up about 6 a.m. or so, while I was still sleeping, to get ready for work. And he'd be sitting in the kitchen, and I'd hear him from my bedroom talking to himself as I was waking up. And I used to think my dad was crazy, but that was just him practicing. Well, he's probably as crazy, but that was him practicing his work every morning before he went to his actual job. So yeah, just studying and practicing as much as you can. You're going to get more out of it. And like you said, it's not just, the more you study it, it's not just that you'll know the words, but you'll understand the words. You'll understand what they mean, right? Which is such an important, I think, piece of it.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Like, it's, it, you know, the thing about, I say about Prince Hall, they actually will work with you. They will put you in their classes. They will have study groups and everything. And I know, actually, when I initially put in my first petition, Prince Paul in the States, they were like, okay, you got to write a paper on Prince Hall and who he was and understand who that man was and everything. I'm like, oh, really? Wow. I remember actually writing a paper, but I never actually turned my petition in, because that's when Buddy Tyrone was like, hey, come in and check us out at Grand Lodge of Michigan. I'm like, oh, okay. So, but you know, it's been a great travel so far, and I'm expecting to go further. So, you know, I did do the Scottish Rite, the Valley of Detroit. And after I did that, I went to Shrine, and that's, I love the Shrine. I love it. I actually visited the Shrine in London when it was their ceremony in Stratford, I think. That was fun too. actually enjoy myself. And I actually came up on my timeline today. Hold on, because I it was last year I went. Let me see if I can pull up this picture real quick. Literally last year, hold on. This is me and my wife at the shrine last year. Hold on, see if we can see a picture.
Omar, nice.
Yeah, Omar. So we went up there, and that was fun. It was different than the shrine in the States. Some of similar things a lot, but it was like, it was different. But I so enjoyed
my my involvement with the shrine. I was so disappointed. Well, not disappointed, but I was so, I guess, yeah. What happened is my favorite band in the whole world is Lynyrd Skynyrd. They are my favorite band. And they came to the casino to play, you know, a concert. So I bought tickets and I go there, and then I'm looking around and I see Omar there. And then I see, Casa Grande. I see all these Masons congregating together. So I go up to them and I say, hey, you guys came as a group. It turned out that the shrine was volunteering there, selling CDs and stuff for like a charitable cause, and they got free tickets. And I was like, this is my favorite band, but I didn't know about the know about it. So I had to pay for my ticket. I still got to see a great concert. And the nice thing about it, though, is the next week, Foreigner, I think it was in town at the casino. So I got to go. Omar put me down on the list, so I got to volunteer at that concert.
Yeah.
So there you go. I got to see Foreigner for free, but I had to pay for.
Foreigner actually made a video for the shrine too, a music video.
Nice.
Very. Because I know after every meat raffle, they show a video. I forgot what song it is. They're popular song.
Foreigner is one of those bands that, like, you know their songs, but you don't know they're by Foreigner until somebody tells you there's those songs.
Yeah. Yeah, Foreigner's a good group. It's Lynyrd Skynyrd. Imagine them playing in the middle of a hip-hop club, downtown Windsor, all hip-hop crowd, and all of a sudden you play Sweet Home Alabama. What would you think the reaction would be?
People love that song. People would
cheer. They go crazy. It's like, whoa, did he just play that? Like, and he had the guts to play this in front of a hip-hop crowd like that? Like, and I played it, and they just all loved it. Like, you know, I DJ majority every club downtown Windsor, but, like, mainly hip-hop clubs. But I would play that odd rock or country song out of nowhere, and they're like, did he just play that? And they would go crazy and dance to it.
It's a great, good music's good music, man. People love Skynyrd and hip, everything's good, right? I love all music. I'm one of those guys who, I normally hate people who answer, like, when you say what your music you like, and they go, all music, but I do like all music, right? I love
all music. Skynyrd, yeah, I mean, especially me being a DJ, I have to like all music.
Skynyrd is my favorite, but I like it all. I like hip hop and rock, and there's nothing I don't like listening to, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, I definitely like rock, and you know, I'm still trying to be a rock star because here's my guitar right here. Still trying to learn how to play it.
We're gonna get you in a band. We'll get you and Rage together.
Oh really? Rage plays an instrument?
I know he's. I don't know if he's proficient, but I know he was trying to learn. Michelle Broussard plays guitar.
Okay. Yeah. I got my guitar right here. Actually, because I'm in my recording studio, is where I actually work for, you know, Comcast every day. And when they sent us home, they're like, you need a quiet place. Well, I was like, dang, I do got a quiet place. My recording studio in my house, and it's right here.
Nice. We got. Wait, we'll get a little Masonic band together again once.
Hey, I guess so. I got to learn how to play a couple more songs and understand the guitar a little bit better, but I'm down for it, you know.
Are you, I mentioned earlier, you know, you're junior warden right now.
Uh-huh.
So that's a quick skip and a jump to the Worshipful Master's chair. Have you thought at all about
Master's
chair and what you want to do and how you want to proceed as master?
I do, and I think about it all the time and every day, and that's something I most likely probably would do and say yeah. I know I kind of, there's a couple ideas I have that I want to do a little bit different, and I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure it might be okay. I don't want to talk about it just yet, but a couple things I want to do a little bit different, because I think after COVID's done, hopefully when it's done this year, next year, or whenever, I think gonna have to start shaking things up just a tad bit.
Do you think that, how do you think that everything is going to, will affect masonry? I know a lot of people are expressing concern that with the, masonry is like a habit. The more you attend, by the same token, if you start to miss meetings, it can be hard to get back into the habit of attending. Do you worry that with the, at this point we're going on, 3 months without a meeting, people will start to drift away from masonry? Or do you think it'll be the opposite, that people will be so excited for the chance to return to masonry and just resume contact with people again, and actual, not having to social distance, that you'll see a resurgence in masonry? I've heard people say both. Do you have any ideas as to what you think will happen?
I don't know yet. I mean, I have a feeling that it could take off and get more people involved, or it can just be like, yeah, I'm too scared of COVID. I don't know. We'll have to see.
And that's true for everything, maybe. Even in your other life as a DJ and with music, how do you see everything affecting clubs? Do you think that once restrictions are lifted, will people be still afraid to go out, or do you think it's just going to blow over?
As you can see now, people are not really afraid. I think there's a lot of people that ain't scared. And I know I'm scared of it. I'm terrified of it. I believe it's like killing people. And I had family that died from it and got family that has it. Matter of fact, my cousin that was a past master, he had it, but he kind of said he cured himself of it. But people, it's out there. And there's people that are scared. So we just have to wait and see. I'm not gonna lie, I'm terrified of it. So you can ask my wife, she's like, you're getting a little bit too ridiculous with this, social distance. I'm like, yeah, but we don't know them people that's coming up this way. Tell them to stay over there. People come and visit us, but they'll literally stay off the porch. We'll put chairs in the lawn, the driveway. So
it's scary.
Like I was telling you earlier, I'm on restrictions, so I can't leave the house right now. So I'm not sick or anything, but it's just that you leave the country, you got to stay in the house for 14 days. So
one of those things, you always hear different information and you don't know what's going on. And you hear asymptomatic people do spread it. Then you hear they don't spread it. Like it seems that there's always different information coming. So yeah,
there's people that probably have it and not showing any symptoms and won't get sick from it. And then you got people who fully blindly get it. Some don't make it, and some people make it. So it just depends. You just got to be careful.
Definitely interesting times. Like you mentioned, Chappelle's most recent special. Like, do you just set up in the lodge? Like, everybody has to sit so many feet apart. We're not at the stage anymore where we have enough people coming that we could, in theory, say every like six seats you have to sit so nobody can sit next to each other or socially distance that way.
That's gonna be hard. I mean, if you take the key principal officers, you should be okay.
That's true. Yeah, the master is sitting.
You should be fine. But I believe there were some lodges open, but there were only 10 that opened the lodge, I think. And it was in Michigan. And I seen a picture, but they had on gloves and masks. And I'm like, yeah, I still probably wouldn't go.
It's a crazy time. I know. I mean, here at the Masonic Temple, we've purchased, we have a whole bunch of like hand sanitizers, and we're getting masks. I've got some masks for Harmony Lodge, which is the other lodge I'm a member of, secretary, when we come back. So, I mean, who knows what it's going to look like, but it's a very interesting time to be alive, I find.
Yeah. Yeah. 2020 is one heck of a year. This is going down in history books. 60 years from now, they were like, wow, they really was going through some stuff. Well, it looks like I can go to the pharmacy and get me a cure for the COVID, because it'll probably be over the counter by then.
It does. Who knows? Probably. It does feel like that, though. You're right. It feels like 2020 is – it's felt like that for a while, that everything is like moving to something, right? Like, it just feels like it's that – there's a lot of things happening all at once. Hold that way for a little while now.
Yeah, yeah. A quick question, because I know earlier we were talking about, I wanted to touch on a little bit about clandestine masonry. Are there any clandestine lodges in Canada?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, like when you say clandestine, right, it's just lodges not recognized by...
Yeah.
Yeah, so not that I've ever been... known of or been approached by, but that's not to say that they don't, I'm sure they exist, right? There's always a big push amongst Grand Lodge of Canada to recognize, or to distinguish between a recognized Masonic Lodge and Grand Lodge and an unrecognized,
you know, okay,
Lodge or Grand Lodge. I find in Canada what we get more of is scammers contacting via Facebook, things like that. So they'll find somebody who's a Mason or who has Masonic pictures on their Facebook. And, you know, I've got a few messages myself, right? Help, brother, I'm trapped in such and such a place and I can't get out and I need you to send me money. And there's enough stuff on the internet, unfortunately, that they kind of know what to say and they've done a bit of research. So they kind of know how to make it sound like they're legit.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to make sure that when you get one of those messages and it's not somebody you know, that you're able to, you know, you ask them the questions to figure out if it's legitimate or not. Because obviously, I've yet to get one of those Facebook messages and have it be legitimate, but it does.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody years ago was like, yeah, man, I'm with Lodge, such and such, you know. And I was like, well, how old is your grandmother? Why are you talking about my grandmother? I'm like, yeah, you're not legit.
We had a past master in Windsor Lodge, a guy called Steve. I don't know if you ever met him, Steve Onyango. He was from Kenya originally, and is just the whole thing is a really, really shitty situation. But he was being
sponsored. I know who he is, and I think I told you who I know who he is. I remember you telling me about the story about how he had a wife or something. He was still here, and she died, and he ended up getting deported back to Africa.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so, I know who he is. I never met him, but like somebody I know, current girlfriend used to go with him.
Right, so
it wasn't nothing bad or anything, but I know exactly who you're talking about. Yes, I know of him.
He was always like, I liked him a lot. He was a really cool guy, great guy. I always tell the story. He I won't give too much away, but at my initiation, right, for part of it, basically he pushed my wheelchair for me.
Mm-hmm.
Through part of my initiation when I wasn't able to do it myself. He got me around. So he was a really great guy. But what was it? Oh, yeah. The reason I brought him up is we're talking about messages and Facebook and stuff. One day I wake up in the morning and I see this Facebook message from Steve. And I think, oh, that's cool. Nice to, you know, hear from him again. So I just jump on there and I say, how's it going? Glad to hear from you. Hope you're doing okay. Been a while, hope everything's good in Africa. And then he sends and I get this message back. I'm so horny right now. ... And I was like, Steve, I can't help you with that. You're pretty far away. But he got himself hacked. And so a whole bunch of us got this message, his Masonic buddies all at once got that message. So okay. Always made me laugh. But yeah, that's the trouble I find in Canada, is not the clandestine lodges, is just random people messaging you and trying to use Masonic words and symbolism to scam you. But what about in the States? How do you find clandestine lodges?
Oh, a lot of them. In Detroit alone, there's so many. I'll speak on it a little bit. There are a lot that we in Michigan, Grand Lodge of Michigan, North Prince Hall recognize. You know, some brothers would look at them like, oh, you ain't no Mason when we're fighting to argue. I'll keep it civil when I'm talking, I'll keep it social, but we will not have any Masonic discussion at all. You know, I'm not going to just like throw you under the bus and, you know, flick boogers at you or anything like that. I'll just, you know, hey, how's it going? Hey, how you doing? This, that, another talk, you know, man, you know, how's the weather, sports, this, that, another. You know, because when I see another brother with lights, I'll say, hey, where you hail from? Well, you know, or say a little other things, and, you know, they'll tell me, well, I'm with, you know, this lodge. I'm like, well, next, when they say this, you know, when they say a lodge, I like, what Grand Lodge? They don't say the Grand Lodge of that state or Prince Hall of that state, then I know that we don't recognize you whatsoever. But, you know, I'll still keep it simple, you know. I'm not going to just start throwing acid in your face. It's not cool.
No, I've never had any, like, any concern with the idea of a clandestine, so long as it's recognized that it's not run as by Grand Lodge. Like, anybody, if they want to start a club, you know, good on them, and that they want to call it, you know, they can call it whatever they want. So long as they're not, you know, actively portraying themselves as Masons, that's the concern. But if they, you know, anybody's welcome to, I always say, if you want to start your own group, it's like anything else, right? There's room for plenty of us. So if anybody wants to start their own fraternity, whether it's at college or wherever it is, that's fine. The danger is, like you said, if they start to portray themselves as Masons and try to use that to get secrets or, you know, get some type of legitimacy through that, right? That's always, it would be my
guess. It's a lot of them in Michigan. I mean, some groups broke off from Prince Hall to start their own. I know one particular group started Modern Free Colored Masons, started in the South, and then one guy broke off from them and started International Modern Masons. I think it's International Masons, which they are probably the largest one. But I know some states they can't operate because they had judgments against them, something like that. I really don't know. I know the details. I just don't be exact about the details, but it's a lot. It's a lot, and I will send you information on even a couple of podcasts on them. You're like, whoa, really? Yeah.
Speaking of, you're way more media savvy than I am. You know, I think you were the first one who mentioned some Masonic podcasts to me before. Were there any that you're listening to, or where do you go to get Masonic information that you suggest people go check out?
I know there is the hold on, let me pull it up here on, because I got the. I got him saved here because I follow him. Hold on a second here. There's one on Prince Hall that I like. Pull it up here. I'll give you the exact name here. Oh, where can I find it? Where there's one called Masonic Roundtable. Those guys are great. And then the Prince Hall one is, hold on, Prince Hall. A second here. Table. I want to get the right name for you here, which for some reason, Prince Hall Think Tank. They pretty much will go over everything for you, like far as you know, how Prince Hall started. It would actually talk about clandestine Masons. They have like so many podcasts. I mean, you learn a lot about Prince Hall Masonry, but the Masonic Roundtable, that's the first one I saw, and they actually talked about Prince Hall. They actually talk about co-masonry too, actually brought somebody, a female mason, on, and they actually had a whole conversation and everything with her. And the funny thing is, when we brought that up in Lodge once, we don't recognize them, but England said that they're clandestine, but their work is regular. And this is on the United Grand Lodge England website, but they don't come any lodge meetings or at all. It's just that they, like, hey, your work is good, but you're clandestine, you're women, you can't come in here.
Yeah. It's, how do you see, or do you think masonry is going to change in the coming years? How do you see it changing? I think that has to be, we talked a lot about, you know, for 2020 seems like this year, everything, you know, there's so much going on. How do you think the pandemic is going to change masonry? Just all the different things going on in the world right now. Do you see masonry changing? You talked about co-masonry, the rise in that.
I don't know. That one, I'm a bit like, I don't know. I mean, anything can happen.
I'm in the same boat. It feels like nobody really knows how it's going to play out, whether how people will be coming back to lodge, social distancing. Is there going to be new rules about the number of people you can have at a lodge meeting? Like, it's
exactly. So that's what I'm like, okay, so we're only gonna have like 8 people or 10 people in a lodge at once, and then what? You're a mason and you just gotta go home and study, and we'll have 1 or 2 people teach you this, and then you can come to one meeting once every other. I mean, how's that gonna work?
It's definitely, you know, it's, I guess it's exciting to think about. It's kind of scary too at the same time. At least I know I'm pretty nervous about where it's going to go and how things are going to look. But
wow,
the fun part about being alive, right, is you get to deal with all this stuff.
This is some other stuff right here. Like I ooh boy. Oh man, yeah. So I mean, since my travels in masonry,
because
I know I became a mason in 2013. Yeah, I think it's 2013. Hold on, let me think. 2013. Yes, it was 2013 because that was the year I started at Comcast. So it's going on. Yeah, 2013, because I actually became a master mason. Hold on, and September 2014. Yeah, because I got it in my book here.
Nice.
Yeah, because this is the virtual book. I'm not gonna open that up, but yeah. So I mean, that's a good question. You're probably gonna have me thinking for a while after this call here. Like, what's gonna happen next? Like, are we going
volcanoes, killer moths, Godzilla? Like, based on 2020, anything's possible.
Yeah,
I feel bad for the guys who are, yeah. In Harmony Lodge, we had a couple applicants waiting to be initiated, so they're just stuck on hold right now too. Right? They didn't.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. Feel bad for them, kind of stuck in this limbo. I'm waiting to get this.
This is insane. I'm more worried about what's really going to happen with us, period. Like, you know, and you got to think about the Masonic Temple in general. Like, there's a lot of events there. What about the weddings and all that stuff? Like, how's that going to, you know, pan out as well? You know, and wow. They need to hurry up and get something going because I want my life to go back as normal.
Hey, I agree. No, it's, yeah, I worry about that too, you know. There's only so many, for any, you know, building, it's concerning, but because it's the Masonic Temple and it's a place I love, yeah, you worry about things like, you know, weddings being canceled and events being canceled, and will people go back to having big weddings and big events, or will they go to just smaller, you know, city hall weddings or whatever it is? It's interesting to say the least, but hopefully people can find a way to get back to normal sooner rather than later. Right. I mean, my guess is, I have no idea, but my guess is September, the government, at a certain point, it just stops being, people are already ignoring social distancing rules so much, right? You see it all the time. At a certain point, I don't know if there's any benefit really in maintaining the illusion, right? People have been breaking the rules since the rules have started, really.
Yeah, everybody's on this, oh, it's conspiracy for the government. I'm like, oh gosh, here you go with this conspiracy stuff. You know, so.
I definitely don't think it's a conspiracy.
I know people that have it, that had it, got it now, and have died from it. It's not a conspiracy. It's not.
No, I definitely don't think.
However, that's coming from us, that we're supposed to be the biggest conspiracy theory group ever, so.
Well, that is one thing I never understood, is Masons who talk about conspiracy theories, they'll float something about this group or that group. But meanwhile, like, half the population floats shit about Masons. So it seems very, like, if anybody should know the danger of conspiracy theories.
And my goodness. Hey, listen, all I know is somebody said I had secret powers and I could shoot thunders out my hands or something. I'm like, man, that is not true. Like, what?
Well, you can when you're a worshipful master, just so you know.
Oh, I can't wait.
once you make it to the East, brother, once you make it to the East, you get to be, we'll give you those secrets.
Oh, okay. That's what I'm talking about right there. I can't wait.
The thing about, like, conspiracies is it's always the next level up, you know, is how they do it. So when I joined Masonry, people were like, well, you're brand new to Masonry. But once you're a Master Mason, that's when you'll learn. Then I become a Master Mason, and it's like, well, but you're not an officer yet. Once you're an officer, then you'll learn. Then I become Worshipful Master, and it's like, but that's not the real inner circle. And it's like, every time you advance, the conspiracy theory is always like, well, it's the next level up. Is the thing, you know, that inner circle, you never quite reach it. And it could be because there is no inner circle. Or it could be that I'm still waiting to get there. Because if we are taking over the world, I would like to be part of it, please. Let this be a message to
the inner circle.
Bring me in. Be hopeful.
That's when I would be the secretary of being head of the guys to take over the world. I would sit there and take the notes and, yeah.
You and me, Dewan, we can do it. We should start the inner circle.
Yeah, why not?
Anybody watching this, put a comment down below. You can join us too. We'll get this going.
Oh yeah. Yes indeed. Yes indeed.
I used to have a bit back in the day when I was doing stand-up comedy more. I haven't done it for so long because I got so busy with everything else. I used to have a bit about conspiracy theories. And my theory was that, how'd it go? My theory was that because life has gotten too easy relative to how we evolved. So back in the day, right, like getting clean, fresh water was a risk. You had to risk alligators eating you, like back in caveman days, and you had to risk lions attacking you. And you couldn't just go to the store for food. You had to go hunting. And everything that we take for granted that is necessary for survival used to be incredibly difficult. And now, because it's so easy for so many of us, we've invented conspiracy theories as a way to make our life more difficult again. You know, it's like, it's how we justify the feat. You know, we know it's too easy to get water compared to what it used to be back in the day. So we have to tell ourselves that they're poisoning the water with fluoride. You know what I mean? That was always what I said. So my bit was, we should get old, like anybody who used to be a professional athlete or professional wrestler, we should just get them to hire them to make our lives slightly more difficult so that we have real things to worry about. Yeah. Like every time you go to try to get a drink of water, if like Hulk Hogan punches you in the face, just so you know what like a real challenge is, you
can complain about that,
as opposed to the fluoride in your drinking water. You'll just be happy to have water if Hulk Hogan is blocking your boss, you know?
Speaking of wrestling, how many pro wrestlers are Masons?
I don't know. I've heard a couple. Dave Crist, actually, from Impact Wrestling, he's with OVE. Mm-hmm. His finishing move, his finisher, is called the Square and Compass.
Ah.
But he's actually not a Mason. It was in honor of his grandfather.
Well, I mean, if he's an Impact, why don't you, like, want to tell him, like, hey, why don't you, since your grandfather was a Mason?
I've talked to him. I've had the chance to talk to him a few times. But he's, I mean, those guys, right, once you're at that level, you're on the road so much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. True, true enough, true enough.
But do you know, you've got a family, speaking of, do your kids ask you questions about Masonry? Do you talk to them at all about it?
No, not yet. No, they haven't. Yeah, they're not really at the age to really think about that. I know. No, they're not really at that age yet to think about it. I know my daughter, who's my oldest, she lives in Arizona. I think it was something came up about being an Eastern Star, but that was, you know, a few years back. But I don't think she has interest in that right now. So, not really, no.
Yeah, I didn't talk to my dad much about it. Though I did kind of grow up in it because we had Christmas parties and things like that I would go to. Or, you know, sitting down in the Legion when my dad had his meeting upstairs, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I know. But come to think about it, when I was probably like 12, 13, I remember my grandfather was looking in his book. And he was like, yeah, I'm thinking about getting my son, you know, my uncle. Because my other uncle was a Mason, too. He was like, yeah, I'm going to get him this because he's a Mason. And I was like, oh, okay. And I really didn't question it because it was like always kind of around me, but I never questioned about it when I was younger because it was like, okay. You know, my grandfather used to have all type of meetings in the basement. It wasn't Masonry, so it was just like meetings were boring, you know, because he was a, you know, he had a PhD. He was a university professor. He was a, you know, educator, and then he was always investment, this, that, another. But I was younger. It was like, okay, whatever. I'm more worried about my wrestling action figures and G.I. Joe and, you know, like, I was a huge wrestling fan. That was my only thing in my mind back then, that age, was wrestling. So.
That, me too. When I was, Bret Hart was always my favorite.
Piper. It was always Piper.
Piper was great. Piper was one of the best.
Yeah, especially when Piper came out with that movie, They Live. Oof.
Man. People love that movie. I like it. It's a good one. Trying to think, you know, Piper was great in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's a great TV show, and he was hilarious in that TV show, too.
Yeah, it was just Piper was just Piper. But wrestling was the only thing on my mind when I was younger. It wasn't none of this what I'm into now. It was then it came DJing. Well, rapping, but I couldn't rap because I suck at rapping. And then DJing, and it was just making music, and then progress to other stuff, going out, girls, and then, well, not really like this, a whole bunch of girls, it was just me and my girl at the time. And then slowly I got thinking about Masonry. So.
Well, with that, I will say, you know, eventually, who knows when, but we'll be back at Lodge, and I'm looking forward to coming back and getting more of your cooking. And maybe I'll have a sip of your
coffee beer.
Your coffee flavored beer. I can. A sip won't kill me, and I love coffee, so.
Yeah, a sip won't kill you. Yeah, just enjoy it. You know, just pour it a little in the glass, and then give the bottle to somebody else, or just take the bottle and down it, or whatever you want, or just take it with you. And
is it going to be the same labels?
It's going to be labeled, but I'm going to do a little different label this time. I'm going to design something a little different.
I'm going to see if I can't grab a picture of one of the labels. I think we still got a couple bottles.
Yeah, it should be. I remember there was a couple bottles in in the cabinet over there. I remember it was a couple empty ones.
So, yeah, I was very, I thought it was really cool when I learned you're a Mason, and I was very happy when you affiliated with Windsor Lodge.
Oh, yes. Yes. Windsor Lodge is great. I don't, you know, it's got wonderful air. Made me feel at home and just like relax. Like, yeah, I like this. You know, I miss Livonia because I haven't been there in a while. You know, I see him on Zoom calls. It's great. I know Livonia is doing a blood drive soon.
Yes, which, and those are important nowadays too. With you know, if ever there's a time that people needed to make sure there was a steady supply of blood available, it's during a pandemic. So if you can donate, we talked about that. Actually, we had a podcast about that, about blood donations, and Masons have always been great about donating blood. So if you can donate, make sure you.
And I know one thing I want to, you know, when Lodge open back up, I want to see Windsor 403, us more in the community, helping the community, doing things around the community. You know, we can actually even put on fundraisers, you know, in a fundraiser event, get somebody who's a guitar, music, and comedian. You know, even get Squeaky Wheels back out and y'all do, you know, do y'all show together. That was great.
I just saw him yesterday, actually, passing by on the street. I haven't talked to Squeaky Wheels for so long. But it'd be great to do some stuff in the community.
I want to do, like, tons of stuff, especially for the community, man. We definitely need to get out and do more stuff for the community. So they'll see, hey, wow, these guys are doing great things. Yes, we are.
I agree. I agree completely. And I'd be, you know, once you're, I always say, you know, the master says it and then you do it. So once you're master, just give me the word, give us the word, and we'll support you, because it'd be great to be in the community.
Oh, yes, indeed. I can't wait. Trust me. And then what I also want to plan, if we do the baseball, I want to see everybody in the Windsor Temple. The whole entire Grand Lodge of Canada, Providence, Ontario, Grand Lodge of Canada, Providence, Ontario versus Prince Hall, Windsor.
That'd be great.
Yes, in the baseball game.
Are you going to be okay, though, for that?
Why wouldn't I be? Because
I remember you, who else was it? Jason? I remember a few guys, I think Rage, complaining about how sore they were for days and days afterwards. I do recall some people saying that they were feeling the baseball for a couple weeks after the fact. So.
Oh God. I was in pain for a week straight, but you know what? It was worth it because it was so much fun.
So hopefully, I'd love to see that. I'd love to see Windsor versus, like, Windsor Masonic Temple versus Windsor Prince Hall, or even maybe get the Americans over, have like Windsor versus Detroit or versus Livonia. If you think you get the Livonia guys to come out, but then who would you play for? That's the question.
Ooh, it ain't where you're from; it's where you at.
So take that, Livonia. We got you along on our side.
I mean, I'm just saying, it's like, I mean, I live here. So, I mean, if I was still a member here and lived there, it'd be like, hey, sorry, Windsor, but I'm in Windsor. So it's like, I still got to go home and go to sleep. So, I mean,
well,
Windsor, like, hey, you sold us out. So
you've heard it here first. Livonia Lodge and or Prince Hall Lodge, the challenge is laid down.
Yeah.
One is going to start doing some push-ups. I'll start doing some push-ups. We'll get ourselves ready. We got your master in about 2 years. So we got 2 years to to get ourselves ready.
Oh, yes, indeed. So
but that would be, yeah, that's definitely a highlight for me of the Masonic career so far, is the softball game 2 years ago. It was a great turnout. Everybody had a lot of fun. Last year's turnout, not so much. Just, I don't know what timing or how it worked out, but 2 years ago, it was great. So, just, you know, get yourself ready, stretch, don't hurt yourself.
Oh yeah, I gotta lose about 20 pounds and I should be okay.
You got 2 years. The honor of Windsor Lodge rests on your shoulders.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Keep yourself safe. Keep yourself, you know, quarantined and all that stuff till they let you get out.
Yeah.
I look forward to being able to sit, you know, in lodge with you in person as opposed to doing everything virtually. That's for sure.
Okay. So, indeed, it was great seeing you. Thank you for having me. You be safe too. And see y'all, everybody.